Hey everybody, this is Jay and I'm here with Todd Musselman. This is the Where Is There podcast. Good afternoon, Todd.
Jay, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. And here we are again. And today is an interesting title.
Yeah.
And it's Silence is Acceptance. Silence is Acceptance is the title of this you wanted to have. And so explain, what do you mean by Silence is Acceptance?
Well, I think for me, Jay, Silence is Acceptance is such a powerful paradigm to think about. And what I mean by Silence is Acceptance, and certainly I didn't coin the phrase, but Silence is Acceptance is simply that whatever you remain silent about in your life, you've accepted. And you know, that's the good stuff and the bad stuff. And when you're silent about stuff that happens to you that's good, that's one thing. But when you're silent about something that's happening to you and it's not so good, there's a cost to that, a pretty big one. And so when I work with couples or I work with teams, what I notice is that a lot of relationships are compromised when we don't say what's so for us, when we remain silent about stuff that's not working for us. And the reason that it's compromised is inevitably that silence will turn to resentment over time. And when I'm resenting somebody else, I can't possibly be at my highest self. There's something in the way. And now I've diminished myself, I've diminished the relationship, and you know, over time, if I don't ever say anything, a lot of times that can lead to the dissolving of relationships. You know, when I work with just distressed couples, a lot of times they're in my office for that very reason. They've stopped saying what was so for them in their marriages or their partnerships, and the resentment is so overwhelming for the other person that it ends. So the Silence is Acceptance is I guess the topic at hand, because I want the listening audience to really look at their life and take notice of where they're remaining silent about things that are happening in their life that aren't working for them.
Sure, sure. Why do you think that people, what's the motivation behind being silent?
Well, motivation's an interesting word. I'm not sure it's motivated. I think it's demotivating, and what I think is behind silence is fear. Fear of not being good enough, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of whatever, but ultimately it's the fear of not being good enough, at least to me. And so we don't speak up in meetings, for instance.
Someone disagrees, or they see it differently, or they have an issue with what's being discussed, but they keep it to themselves.
Yeah, they don't say anything, and then what inevitably happens, in a lot of times anyway, and it might even ring true for people listening to this, is they don't say anything in the meeting. They completely disagree what's been decided. Then they go out to the water cooler and they notice that there's a couple other people from the meeting that are kind of in the same camp. And so then they denigrate that decision. They form what I call a victims club. And, you know, inside of cultures, in an organization, silence tears teams apart probably more than anything. And it's the unwillingness to say what's so for you that really creates camps and silos and what have you, and dysfunction in a team. But the same thing happens in marriages or friendships.
So they're being silent at the moment they could actually have an effect and do something about it.
Yeah.
But then when they go out to the water cooler, so to speak, they're not being silent. But at that point, like it's that becomes the victim behavior.
It is, and it's so destructive. And so one of the things that I like to say, and it's a little bit fierce and straightforward, but I have no problem with people remaining silent about something that's not working for you in your life. And if you choose to do that, then in my experience, you forfeit the right to bitch about it or complain about it.
So this becomes Silence is Acceptance is a sort of a reflection on personal responsibility.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't mean that you're actually accepting it, but that you need to accept the fact that by being silent about this, that's on you.
You know, your husband continues, or your wife continues to come home late and they don't call. And this is a repeated pattern in your marriage or your partnership, and you don't say anything. It just drives you crazy, but you never say anything. Well, who's that on?
Mm-hmm.
And by not saying anything, what gets solved? And so again, inevitably, what gets solved is it ends certainly in distress, and a lot of times it becomes such a big deal that it ends in the separation or the dissolvement of that relationship, and it's all fear. Fear gets in the way so much, and
well, of course, I mean, think about it. You're sitting in a meeting,
yeah,
and you know your boss is saying we're going this direction, and you have a major issue with that,
yeah,
but there's consequences by speaking up. How do you deal with that?
You know, I hear that a lot, Jay.
Yeah.
And what's funny is if you talk to anybody that's in the role of management or whatever, or leadership, I ask them that question. So if somebody spoke up and disagreed with you, would you fire them? And the guy goes, oh my gosh, no. Or the woman says, no, just the opposite. I love disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
I actually encourage disagreement. And for me, disagreement is fantastic inside of teams, inside of marriages, inside of partnerships, friendships. I love conflict. I think it's very healthy, with the caveat that there's two kinds of conflict. There's effective conflict and there's ineffective conflict.
Mm.
And to me, the differentiator between those two is, am I coming to this conversation with the truth? That happens, that conflict will not be a productive one. That'll mm-hmm. be ineffective conflict. If I come with an open heart and an open mind, just like we talked about in the first episode, then that conflict is likely to produce a great outcome. And most leaders that I work with truly welcome divergent opinions. In fact, it's what makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fear gets in the way. The thought is, oh my gosh, if I say something, I could be fired. Or, oh my gosh, if I say something, maybe my spouse will leave me. So I'll just won't say anything and just hope that it gets better. And it doesn't get better.
So in a meeting situation where there's that fear that you talk about, it's really, sometimes can that fear overcome that open heart and open-mindedness?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, so in other words, it can be hard to have an open heart and open mind if that fear is overriding.
Yeah. It's very very rarely do they coexist.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Jay, I believe in any moment in time, we're coming from one of two places. We're either coming from love or fear. And, so when fear is running the show, we tend to be diminished. We tend to play small,
mm-hmm.
which I've done innumerable times in my life because of fear, way more than I'd ever like to recount. And every time I play small and let fear get in the way, you can hear this sucking sound in my spirit. And it's not very fun. And conversely, when I come from love, when love, loving what I'm up to, loving myself enough to be courageous to say what's so for me inside my partnerships or in the meeting in the office or whatever that is, I'm always astounded at the results when mm-hmm. love is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, beneath silence is acceptance, is fear, of course. And so, you know, my thought is, well, what would have us courageously speak our word, and who would we be then in our life if we said what was so for us more often inside of our work environment, inside of our friendships, inside of our partnerships, even with our kids, if we actually said what was so for us instead of letting fear tamp down and create a filter that has us playing small.
So part of this becomes then having that awareness during that meeting or mm-hmm. during that conversation or during yeah. that, whatever that interaction is, where we're sitting back, not saying what's so,
yeah,
and holding that in, and then having that awareness of like, gosh, am I coming from a place of love or am I coming from a place of fear? And having that awareness and then trying to turn that part around.
You know, as we talked about in the first two segments, awareness is the first point of choice.
Mm.
And I can't choose into saying something if I'm not aware of what's holding me back from saying it in the first place. Mm-hmm. If I just think, oh, well, you know, it won't be appropriate. I mean, one of the funniest scenarios that everybody on this, I'm pretty sure everybody listening to this can relate to. How many times have you been in a meeting where, you know, a topic's being discussed, you have something to say, but you don't say it. And then your coworker says exactly what you were going to say, right? And you're like, oh, crap, was going to say that.
Right, right.
But you don't say it. And then you go out of the meeting and you're defeated at some level.
Yeah.
You're bummed that you didn't say it. And I think that happens so often. And so that's another, you know, consequence of being silent. You know, so I guess it's just, you know, we don't have to berate, but we don't have to, I guess we don't have to continue down this road too much. I think people listening to this would really get it. It's just my question for the listeners is, are you being silent about things that aren't working for you in your life? And what would it be like if you said what was so for you more often? And who would you be then in your life, even if it was 5 or 10% more often?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't, I'm not suggesting we just courageously switch it. I mean, it would be great if we just all the time said what was so for, but what if we just upticked it 5, 10, 15%? Who would you be then in your life? I like to take things, actions in small steps. You know, one of my favorite quotes of all time is, small things done consistently result in great change. So if I consistently said what was so for me more often in my life, what I might find eventually is a huge shift in how I'm occurring and how life is occurring to me.
Mm.
And so that would be my parting words on this subject, I think, as we're going down that road and thinking about where am I being silent, where is fear showing up really is really what we're saying. You know, would I be willing to choose love over fear more? And you know, so courage is the adjunct of love. It's a result of love. It's a manifestation of love. And so I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you said about the 5 or 10%, because there are people out there that are introverted that have a really hard time stepping up and saying things, especially in front of a group of their peers or coworkers or things like that. But if they even started on a very small scale with some non-consequential things in their life,
to begin to
speak up.
Yeah, create the habit of speaking up.
Right, yeah. And get more comfortable that way.
Sure, and even if it's not comfortable. I mean, it may never be comfortable. That's not the point.
Yes.
Point is the discomfort created by being silent is way worse than the discomfort of actually speaking up, at least to me.
Yeah.
And you know, so one of the fun new leadership mantras in the world that I hear a lot of times is, oh, you got to be fearless. Just got to be more fearless in your life. And to me, that just, I just think that's just happy horseshit, to be honest with you, Jay.
Yeah.
I do, because I think the last time we were truly fearless was when we were about 1 or 2 or 3 years old. It's not about being fearless to me. It's about being courageous. Like I don't know a single human being that doesn't deal with fear on a daily basis.
It's acting in the face of fear.
It's being courageous, seeing the fear and doing it anyway.
Right.
That's what I'm suggesting as a way forward. So thanks. Hopefully this was a helpful, podcast, and we'll go on to, episode 4.
Absolutely. And, if people want more information, they can go to toddmusselman.net.
Yeah.
And thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.